Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves on trees are falling. What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And my, oh my, what is going on in the markets? Extremely interesting. That there feels like there's something underneath the surface that is happening and that is potentially going on because of the what we would call the tape action. You know, when you watch markets and you learn to observe them and you learn the process of what goes on, you then start to see some of the footprints that a market will leave. And the market is certainly leaving some very interesting footprints. Now, you know, we don't know which way it's going to go. I believe that the top of the market's in, and we're only going to see some down breakage from here. Now, again, it won't be straight down, but, you know, I personally believe the top is in. But we could see the markets churn around from here. But interesting enough, there's enough quirky and strange action that we're seeing in the bond market, in the stock market, that is potentially saying, hey, something's going to happen here. Because when you watch the tape, look what's happened to the bond market. Now, for those who don't know, bond futures go up, interest rates go down. Bond futures go down, interest rates go up. And what we're seeing here is we're seeing all of a sudden the curve, the yield curve, which is interest rates from the very short term all the way out to the 30-year, is again starting to climb versus invert. Okay, before it was inverting, and it almost appears like the Fed might be willing to step in here and raise rates. Now, I don't think that they're going to raise rates, but I wouldn't be now totally surprised because the markets are indicating that there's something going on here, again, what we call underneath the surface, because as we know, the markets don't announce themselves. They don't announce what their intentions are, but they kind of build into that, you know, crescendo of what's going on in the world. And with the way that they've been trading, okay, it's certainly an interesting move, because when you watch it and you see what's going on, it indicates that something, again, is a potential move or action that may indeed take place here. And the only thing that would make logical sense for the rates to start to fall or rise, excuse me, is the way that the bond market is acting. Because they've had some dramatic turns. Now, if we look at the, you know, the dollar, you know, the dollar has been, you know, it had come off a little bit and now is, you know, testing that support low. But, you know, over the weekend and, you know, then into Monday, the dollar had some interesting action. And it seems like there is something that has to happen. Now, the market has now been down 8 days in a row. But let's clarify the 8 days by saying that the entire 8 days is less than 2%. So that is not, you know, enough to be concerning you know, as one, and it becomes what you look for is the intraday action. And if you look at a shorter term chart, you've seen a little bit of price volatility. Now, the price volatility is not showing up in the longer chart because, again, I just said that we've only been down 2% over the last 8 losing days in a row, which is that's almost as hard as doing anything, because when you think about it, for the market to only move 2% when it's gone 8 days in one direction is interesting. But when you look at it and you start to understand, it means, or it feels like, something's happening. You know, if I go back to one of my favorite movies, The Trading Places, you know, Billy Ray Valentine, they panicking out there. I feel it panicking. And, you know, whether they are or not, I can't say for sure. But it appears that there is a move being manipulated underneath everything we're watching, because we continue to see bad data, bad information, you know. And when we think about it, it would only make logical sense that you could see a big sell-off. Now, again, we don't predict the markets. We don't predict the time that this could happen. But certainly, we do look at it from a standpoint of what is next. What is the next big step? Now, until we see volatility start to come back, we won't see much, because that means there's still a lot of complacency. But there are signs out there, okay? Now, they're not clear enough to act on yet, okay? So we will still have to kind of sit back and watch. But there are certainly warning signs being thrown about, giving us an indication that there is certainly something that probably is going to happen. Now, again, the move could be higher. It doesn't have to be lower. Okay. Lower just ties in to everything else that I think, but it could be higher. Again, it's not a final score, and this could be proof that once again the bond market would be wrong. And I believe eventually the bond market will win out, but at this point in time we still have to honor and respect what the market is telling us. And the story being told right now is the markets are on edge. The markets are concerned. And you're seeing it from messages from J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. And I put no stock in those two because I know they're manipulating. But I do know that they have monster short positions on. So we'll see how it plays. And it probably won't play out this week. But it does bear watching. It does bear observing. It is something that you can learn from as a trader, as an investor. And it's certainly something I would encourage you to watch closely, even if you have no intentions of trading it. It's a great learning tool for your future. This is The Bubba Show. When you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and you can download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge, which appears on the weekends. You can also check out our other content, because we've got a lot of content there. So make sure you check that out, as well as BubbaTrading.com. You know, again, I'm in it to try to help people improve their lives. I have some great programs that we can offer. Make sure you check it out, BubbaTrading.com. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It is Bubba Horowitz, and, you know, we're always having some fun. That's kind of what we do. We enjoy the the fun of talking and entertaining and, you know, keeping you informed of what's going on. And, you know, there's a lot of very serious problems in this country. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm already sick of this presidential crap. You know, I don't know. I look and I could never see myself voting for Hillary, whether she be a Republican or a Democrat, because it's hard for me to vote for somebody who's as slippery as she is. You know, she reminds me of, if you're in prison, you know, you don't drop the soap. Okay, you need soap on a rope with her because she keeps sliding out of every potential problem. Now, the one thing I can't appreciate about Donald Trump, and I know he's got his flaws, but he is not a politician. He is a businessman, and he has to make tough decisions. He is also a non-politically correct person, okay, which I believe we need more of. I think that, you know, a lot of the pent up and built up anger in this country is because we are too politically correct. I think it's very similar to the markets. We don't let the markets take care of themselves. We have interference and intervention. And I think we see the same thing in social issues. We have interference and intervention when the market will take care of itself. And that is, you know, I think one of the things we're missing. Now, I believe in equal rights for everybody. I believe in that everybody should be paid equally for the same job, same pay. I believe in that. Okay, so, you know, it's not that I'm a wacko. I mean, I'm maybe a little bit, but I mean, I believe that everybody should have a fair and equal opportunity to succeed. But I also believe that you must take the bull by the horns and take opportunity and make your opportunities. Okay, and I know that we're not all in the same position and some people have a better shot. But if you heard, you know, Michael Bloomberg said, well, you know, I wasn't like Donald Trump. I didn't start out with $1 million from my father. No, you started out with $10 million from Shearson Lehman. And of course, we all know that in this country we have, you know, the poor, the wealthy, the middle class. And unfortunately, you know, the poor typically don't have the same advantage as the wealthier because they can't get the same things, but you can get your way out. And one of the things that I think is sorely lacking in this country is hard work. I think we've gotten away from what made America great, and that was the ability to work hard, the ability to suck it up and to get out there and kick ass. And even though things were not always perfect, we got it done. We got the job done. And to me, that becomes one of the issues, is who is going to make those opportunities available? Which candidate will it be? And again, I'd have to go with Trump because of some of his ideas and because the pedigree of Hillary Clinton, if she's going to continue the Obama strategy, which is to continue to wipe out the middle class, creating more entitlements. But do you really want to live on entitlements? I think that is the bigger question. I mean, do you want the ability to go out and do what you want to do when you want to do it and be able to spend, not necessarily freely, but spend, you know, knowing that you have a paycheck and that you're working? Or do you want to be restricted to the amount of entitlement that you're receiving? Now, I would say that the majority of the country would rather be working and not collecting entitlements, but there are a few that actually make a career out of the entitlement programs as well. And to me, I think that's a sad story. But unfortunately, that sad story is being written by the current administration. The continuation of providing more and more benefits to those who don't want to work for it becomes a bigger problem. Now, again, I'm all for charity. I'm all for helping those in need. But I'm not in favor of helping those that are not in need but are making themselves in need so they can steal entitlements from the government. And trust me, if you don't know this, the government, of course, anybody who pays, you know, $50,000 for a $12 toilet is capable of paying out billions of dollars in entitlements that they don't even know where they're going. And you can bet your ass that there are people out there that have learned how to work the system and are not only going getting one set of entitlements, but maybe three sets, and making a salary or a career off of scamming their entitlements. You know, we've seen it in every industry that has any bit to do with the government, where you've had Medicaid fraud, you've had, you know, you've had medical stuff, you know, anything that gets billed back through a government agency, most people don't check it, and they don't find out till years later, and millions of dollars have been stolen before it actually shows up. Which leads me to the next point, which is why I think that there needs to be a much tighter control on government spending and a much better audit as to what's going on. You know, for them just to be able to, you know, spend freely based on their budget, I think is incorrect. I think it's wrong. I think that we need to see more full disclosure, very much like corporations have to do. They have to detail everything that they're doing. I think that the government should have to detail everything they're doing as well. And I think that the bidding process is flawed. The way that they give the way that they assign government contracts is flawed. So I think that there's too many flaws, but it does relate back to what? The money. Okay. So do you think that the people in charge that are benefiting from all this money are going to want what I'm asking for? And I would think probably not, which then leads me back to Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, in my opinion, cannot be bought. Okay. Donald Trump needs this presidency like he needs a new, you know what? Okay. I mean, he certainly doesn't. Obviously, nobody runs for president for the money. Okay. The president is usually an egomaniac, a power monger, or something of that nature. And certainly Donald Trump fits in the power monger part. But he doesn't need this grief and aggravation and this browbeating he's getting. So I think my opinion is that he really has the best interest of the country in his heart. Now, again, I know he doesn't say everything right, and I know he's done a lot of bad things, and I'm not telling you what to do. I mean, listen, you vote. You know, politics is interesting. You vote for who you think is right. But I do believe that Trump will give this country, our economy, the best chance to do better. I think it will give us the best opportunity to move forward instead of where we have been moving, which is backward. I think we will have a chance to get the budget balanced once again, and we won't have this ridiculous spending where really the spending, remember, you and me are paying for all this ridiculous spending that they're doing. Okay. There is nothing magic about it. Okay. When they go over budget, they create more money to pay it. We are the ones who are eventually paying for it, either through taxes or through devaluation of your currency, whatever. So, you know, just keep that in mind as we approach and listen for the things that are important to you, and listen to the things that will make the opportunity to create more money and more opportunity for everybody. Because at the end of the day, the United States of America runs the best when very few are being entitled and everybody is out making money. Because when you make money, you spend it. It stimulates the economy. It creates the velocity of money. It creates all the good things in life that everybody wants, instead of the worried about the day-to-day activity of what the Federal Reserve or what any of us is going to do. We need to get America back to work. And I'm talking about real jobs, not minimum wage. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, when you miss an episode, you have to go to libertytalk.fm. You get The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge there, which has been hosted by Xander. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com. We've got a bunch of cool things coming up, and we're getting ready to rock and roll into the fall. So make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back.
Fly me to the moon.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Robertson Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Robertson Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Back to the Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horwitz, and it's time for our weekly visit with RFD Radio and Marlon Bowling. So let's go to my interview yesterday with Marlon and RFD Radio, XM 147. Here we go.
Horwitz, he's with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. And Todd, thanks for joining us this morning. It looks like a little bit of firmness overnight. What happened to turn that soybean market around here in the Globex trade?
Good morning, Marlon. Well, you know, I think this is a fairly ugly pattern we're in right now. You know, if you've watched the last couple of nights, they've been pretty much higher overnight. And then, of course, when we get to the regular session, they come in and hammer them lower again. And I'm afraid that's a pattern I'm not a big fan of as the bull that I am right now in these markets. I'd rather see them lower overnight and see the buyers come in to the regular session. And I think that, you know, when you're making what I would consider a bottoming process, I think these are the kind of action you'll see. And typically, when you're trading almost any product, you don't really want to see the higher openings. I mean, I know it feels better, but typically that means that there's some early buying and the sellers are going to come and snap them down again. And unfortunately, I think that'll probably be more the case again. I mean, we've seen it especially in wheat about the last 4 days, higher and then lower during the day, and then late in the day they really crack them. And you know, again, I think we're in a bottoming process, especially in wheat and corn. I think soybeans have a little bit more work to do, and I think they'll be a little bit more volatile as we've seen the last couple of days. But overall, I do believe that we are in a bottoming process across the board. And as soon as we can make a good solid base, which I think is a couple of days away, I think we can start to see some higher prices. Now, again, I'm not looking for and nor do I want to see a straight limit up move, although obviously if I was going to trade it and buy them and sell them real quick, that'd be great. But I think a better move for all of us would be to find a bottom and then start to see a trend start to move it higher and start to build some momentum working to the upside versus this big, jittery, wide-swinging markets. These are much more challenging and indicate that there's not enough buyers in yet or enough interest to be buyers to get the markets to run higher yet.
Well, you know, you go in the deep south and some of that corn is about ready to harvest already.
No, I understand. I mean, again, really, though, the big thing, I'm a big advocate always of price. That's really what I'm concerned with. We all know the news is basically out there. There is not a lot of shocks nor surprises. So really what it comes down to is, what will the supply-demand model look like? What will the dollar look like? What will the outside markets look like? And then will we be able to see some new money coming in to buy here? And that's what I'm actually looking for, Marlon. I'm looking for new money to start to exit some of the other investments that they're in and then come to the commodity space, especially the grain markets. They've been extremely oversold, in my opinion.
I think that from what I understand, looking at the commitment of traders and looking at some of the other things, they are now they're now long corn and wheat and still a little bit short beans. So I think that what we're going to see, though, is we will get some new money to come in here. And I think that we will see the market start to push higher. And I think some of the outside factors that we've already priced in, which have been not good for the commodity space, will start to turn and go the other way for us.
Well, Todd, I want to bring you back here in a moment, and we'll talk more about the markets. In fact, I wanted to ask you about the fact that I saw some reports coming out of some private tours going around the corn and soybean areas, especially in the Eastern Corn Belt, that were a little bit of a surprise, and I want to visit with you about that. We'll be back with more. Our very special guest is Todd Bubba Horwitz. He is with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Our producer and engineer, and on the phone, we have Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Todd, overnight I was seeing some social media posts from some folks that were out there taking a look at some fields, let's say in the eastern part of the Corn Belt. Let's talk about northern Ohio and northeastern Indiana, for example, and some of the area crops, they said, were a little disappointing. A lot of drier conditions in that part of the Corn Belt. So it's not ideal everywhere, apparently.
No, it's not ideal everywhere, but one thing you can almost always count on, Marlon, is that the efficiency of the markets, barring any of the financial engineering and engineering done by the government, will price in all the information as a whole. And I think that's why we're seeing the prices we're seeing. I think one of the mistakes we make as either farmers, producers, or traders is we get too caught up in some of the information we might not hear, might hear, but not with the full story. And I think the full story always plays out in the price discovery of the market. So that's why, you know, when we look at certain types of action, we see how they function and how the markets move, and that really gives you a better handle of what everybody's really thinking and where the money's really going. And right now, again, I think we continue to remain, no matter what conditions are in different parts, as we remain in this type of bottoming process and waiting for some new money to flow in to start to push these prices higher.
All right. Well, yesterday we saw some, or the last couple of days, I should say, we have seen some fairly big swings in the value of the U.S. dollar. It looks like it firmed up a little bit this morning. Crude oil may have turned around, but it's been taking a beating here recently. Does that weigh in at all here this morning?
It always is. And this is the, unfortunately, part of the big problem we have, Marlon, in the ag space is the financial engineering going on and the deflationary scenario that they've created, pummeling prices and really taking away our opportunity to export out. And that's one of the areas that needs to change. And it looks like one of the things I'm looking at here is underneath the actual equity markets and in the bond markets, which control the dollar, it looks like there's something happening. And there could be a rate increase. And I don't, you know, listen, I've said I didn't think one was coming in 2018. But it looks like something fishy is going on, and I think there could be some quirky announcement in the next couple of days based on what I'm seeing in the market action that is keeping the lid on the commodities right now. But I think once this resolves out, I think then we can start to see that movement that we're looking for. But again, the biggest thing that I'm always concerned about is the market footprint that it leaves and what it's telling me based on price, because, again, all the news will get priced into the market well ahead of the time that the news actually comes out.
We're hearing a lot of analysts putting a 15 on the front of their production number for corn this year.
Well, you know, again, I can only base, you know, information that I can look at, you know, based on the chart and based on the price action. You know, a lot of people make a lot of bold calls and make a lot, tell you a lot of information, but of course, you know, you look at some of the major banking firms, you know, J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, you know, they kept calling for $20 oil way back when. And, of course, we went to 50 as they were calling for 20. So I can't get too excited about an analyst making a call, because typically, in my opinion, analysts typically have an agenda of what they're trying to accomplish by the calls that they make, which is why I revert back to the simplest way, which is the footprint that the market gives me and the price levels that they're trading at. And that, in the end of the day, will always give us the best information available without having to listen to anybody else's analyzation of what the market's going to do.
Food for thought from Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you want to learn more information, he's got a great website. You need to check it out. Just go to bubbatrading.com, and you'll find a plethora of information about the markets. And he has some great educational work on there as well. So check it out and give him a call. Tell him Marlin sent you. We'll be back with more Commodity Wrap.
And you see how interesting it is when you're actually listening to news versus facts, because news will, most times, I believe, force you into a bad decision versus looking at strictly at the action that you need. Okay. And again, the price action will always determine what the next move is going to be, not what the analysts say. The analysts can create a bump or a move in the short term, but if you take a look at, you know, even different parts of the country, I mean, you know, let's say we're going to produce a million bushels, okay, of anything, but you know, and we figure it's going to come, you know, from X number of states, and it's going to be equally divided. Well, what may happen, that same million might come, but it might come from different ways. So you just have to remember that in this business, price is always king. The footprints are always the leader that will give you the best idea of the market, because over the years, we've seen major news stories that have created major movement one way or the other. But at the end of the day, the markets always dictate the money flow, the price pattern, and whether or not we are reaching a level of support and resistance, or we're reaching levels that are just too low, that eventually low prices will cure low prices, or too high, in which high prices will cure high prices. And in wheat and corn, for sure, I think we're at the point where the low prices will cure the low prices. I think soybeans still have a little bit of work to go. But at the end of it, I'm very comfortable with, you know, being a buyer in these levels here. Certainly, I'm a holder and I'm a storer if I have actual physical inventory, because I believe that you'll be pleasantly surprised if you have the patience to watch the market. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We were visiting with Marlin Bowling. And I want to remind you that when you miss an episode of The Bubba Show or The Sporting Edge, you go to libertytalk.fm and check it out. Also, keep checking out bubbatrading.com, because we're going to be doing some webinars now. We're going to get back into business as the summer starts to wind down. So make sure you check out bubbatrading.com. This is The Bubba Show. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba. Show Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we just finished up with Marlin Bowling and RFG Radio. I also want to continue on the commodity and agricultural theme here, but first I want to give a shout out to one of my friends and folks out in Bern, Kansas. I hope your daddy's doing better. I'm praying for him. So I hope that all is well, and that you get taken care of and everything works out great. But in the meantime, you know, as we near the election, 97 days away from the presidential election, you know, where is our guys? Who's going to take care of us? Okay. Who is going to be the leader that's going to repeal a lot of the stench and garbage that President Obama has laid at the feet of farmers and producers and small business? Okay. You know, the family farm is being slowly disintegrated at the behest and at the movement of the government, because with all of their onerous regulations that they continue to put on, from everything from GMO labeling to water to taxes to deductions, to the farm bill, all the way to the ridiculous regulations on the banks, it has created a much bigger challenge for the smaller guy to compete. And that's why many of you have obviously sold out or, you know, leased out some of your land, because the land prices are high, because corporate America is in, and their risk dynamics and their ability is much different than ours. They get much bigger benefits. They don't have the same problem. You know, I miss the day or the days when I could go to the community bank, knew everybody there, and could get a loan processed in about 15 minutes. Okay. Now, not only do you have to go in with your, with every single document and showing that you have enough money to back the loan up, but you have to go in with your firstborn and a few other things. It has become sad what we've come to. The direction in which you're heading is destroying small business. It is destroying the family farm. It is destroying everything that Americans have built up to. Okay. And I know we have not heard very much from our candidates today as of yet about the farming community. So I'm certainly hoping that we can get one of them. And my guess would, it would have to be Donald Trump, because I'm sure that Hillary Clinton is, first of all, you know, she's never done much good for farmers, as far as I can remember. She did manage to steal some money out of the cattle markets back in the 70s, but she's really never done much, and she figures to continue the same ridiculous, ignorant policies of the current sitting president. So I would think that it would have to be Donald Trump to have to come to the rescue and help make farming and small business the priority again. Because what we're turning into is a world and a country that will lack the competition. You know, we've seen this very much in the oil fracking fields right now. You know, if you don't know, the frackers who discovered all this oil and built all this oil are the very same wildcatters, if you go back in the day, the ones that would drill in obscure spots looking to find oil, while the big guys are out, you know, in this case now, they were out drilling in the ocean. They were out doing all kinds of things, and they were ignoring what is actually probably over a 100-year supply without affecting any of the environment. Okay. And I would hope that within the next 100 years, we will be off the oil and into something better, more efficient, and cheaper, and the whole deal. But of course, that would be depending on if we can get big oil and get away from the politicians that depend on big oil. Because if you haven't noticed, and a little off topic, but still in the commodity space, the coal industry were destroyed within 1 year by, of course, President Obama. President Obama decided that, first of all, coal guys were not big enough donors to the campaign. They didn't contribute enough, so screw them. We're going to put them out of business. And what did they do? They put them out of business in a year and really multiplied the size of our unemployment because of the fact of what they're doing. So that becomes a bigger problem. And because big oil is a big contributor and a big lobby, they have more control over the candidates, which is the same problem I see with Michael Bloomberg and Mark Cuban going for Clinton, because they believe, in my opinion, that they can control her, not because she's a woman, but because she's a typical Democrat that is willing to take the money. Okay? Again, politics is about building your coffers full of cash. Politics is about who's going to pay me to do it the best way. Hence, Warren Buffett. Okay? So all of those people that are going in that direction are going directly against small business and the farmer and the producer. Okay, now small farmers, it's a challenge. You know, I've been out, I visit. Listen, I have a farming background, believe it or not. I have family that farms, and they have basically taken these steps to destroy what has been in families for generations. Okay, you know, back in the 1800s, the farmer was the king. And, of course, we've gone through many revolutions, you know, the industrial, that now we're in the tech. And, you know, we still got to eat, though. Okay? Now, again, they've come up with ways, and, of course, farming is more efficient, which is why you have more corporations in it now, because they can define costs much easier. But at the end of the day, we need the competition of small business. We need the competition of the family farmer to make sure that the American people don't get screwed with price fixing and all these other things that go on, because the family farmer is in it to make money, as is the corporation, but the corporations will do it in dirtier ways, and they will sometimes take a loss to make a profit later to put many out of business. And I think that is the problem with these ridiculous, onerous regulations that we have that keep us fighting for more. So I advise you to watch and look who you vote for. Make sure that their platform is in with you and your understanding, so that we can get away from a bunch of this garbage that they spew, because to me it's ugly, it's bad, and of course, like Walmart and Amazon, they don't care who they put out of business on their way. And all that does is put the little guy in every business at risk and at jeopardy. And to me, that is nauseating. And I want it changed. And the only way we can change, the only way we can get real change, is to follow the footprint and who's going to give us the best shot to take care of our business. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download, as well as The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge. And make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. I'm going to have a webinar coming up in the next couple of weeks. So make sure you keep checking and get yourself signed up, and you can come in and learn something with Bubba. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. Always great to be with you. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.